Jesus is the answer. He's the hope of the world that we have. He's what gets me up every morning. What gives me strength to go on for another day. But He is. And that's what we've been looking at this week, this month, is Jesus. And we've been doing Advent. Advent means coming. He's coming back very soon for the church. Amen. He is coming back, guys. Oh, it could be tonight, tomorrow. There's nothing else that has to be completed for Him to come get His church. Think of that. People say, we need this Antichrist. We need... No. All that takes place once the church is out of here. Every day we see more and more one world currency. He predicts that. One world government. We're fighting that right now. One world religion. It's all coming together. It's all going to be set up. And He told us that. And if you see it, I don't want to see one world government. I don't want to see that. Thank God we're still fighting that, because that means we're still here, still sharing the gospel, that day after day more people are coming to accept the greatest gift God's ever given us of salvation. But it's going to take place. We see a gathering like that. We know the time of His coming is very short. So our gathering here on this earth and this stinking flesh that hurts all the time and aches and pains and stuff like that, this heart that breaks, it's going to stop before long, very, very soon, because we're going to be up here with the Lord forever and ever and ever. He'd overcome all this stuff. We're just sharing His gospel, sharing the truth until He comes. Wow. And it's getting tough, but it's not impossible. Not impossible. He strengthened every one of us as we recall His word. Remember what He went through for us. Man. And that's where we got to help Him in. Did not Jesus have to have help carrying His cross? He's in the flesh, and somebody came alongside and helped carry His cross. And I'm telling you, same with us today. We need help carrying our crosses once in a while. You know what I'm saying? If the Master needed it, we can't be so boastful or prideful, or I don't know what I might want to use, that we can't come along and say, hey, I need help carrying my cross. We carry it for one another. Carry it just like He did. And so we look at, He is our blessed hope. We looked at the first week, the hope we have in Christ. And that hope isn't hoping that things will take place that He said. No, it's knowing that they will take place. Amen. I have a blessed hope. I have a guaranteed hope. I know that every word in that Bible is true. Amen. I know I have salvation through Jesus. I know my sins have been forgiven. I know my name is written in the book of life. I know someday I'll transfer, my spirit and soul will be transferred into heaven. I'm already a citizen of heaven. I'm dual citizenship right now. Okay? I'm dual citizenship right now. But someday this citizenship is gone over with and be only in the kingdom of God. Wow. And we look at the peace that God brings us. That Christ brought into your life the minute you accepted Him into your life. A peace known to be reconciled with God. Wow. And then that brings us what we looked at last week, was the joy. I mean, it's a package deal, Christ in our life. You know, and my heart breaks for those who... It's easy to get wrapped up in the things, but they lose sight of that. They lose sight of the joy and the love and the hope we have in Christ. Because the world's so ugly. And we have to be reminded, don't we? I mean, we really do. Every once in a while, my wife will look at me and say, Starkey, do you love me? And she knows it, but she just needs to hear it. You know, when something tough is going on, you know. And I used to give her the smart aleck answer, yes, I married you, didn't I, you know. And when I say that, she knows I'm kidding. But just to reassure that, you know, just to hear that. And that's what we do here. That's what you guys do here when you gather here for me, man. You know that, yes, you love the Lord, and yes, He loves me, and yes, we can continue to do this. You know? God doesn't have to do another thing for me. Don't have to. His love's already been shown to me. But sometimes I have to remind myself. I got to remind myself of His love for me. Same with each one of us here. I can remember that time in my despair. I can remember, wow, I had nothing left inside of me. I was drained. I had no purpose, no reason. I'm telling you what. And most people looked at me and thought, man, I had the world by the horns. But inside of me, I was dead. I was dried up. I had nothing. And I called upon the name of the Lord, and that hand of God came down. He picked me up, and He lifted me up, and He returned the joy of my life, a plan and a purpose. Man, He took away all the guilt that I was carrying, and He just renewed me. He lifted me up and gave me a new life. Oh my, what an awesome thing God did. That gift of salvation. It's just not having the gift brought to us. It's receiving that gift. It's unwrapping that gift. It's putting that gift on. Allowing it just to come. Man, it's just like being a cold winter's day and someone gives you a brand new coat. And you look, oh, thank you very much. And you walk outside without putting it on. Not going to make much difference, is it? The thought is nice that they thought of you. But you realize when you put that coat on you, how it breaks the wind, it takes away that chill, it brings a warmth to you. And that's what it is with Jesus Christ when we receive Him. Not just be entertained by Him in this time of the year, but when we receive Him as our Savior and our Lord, it brings a warmth into our heart. It breaks the wind of Satan and fiery darts He's been shooting at us. He stops that. That's an awesome thing. And love, and we see where love truly is, as you mentioned earlier in John 3:16. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world or condemn the world, but the world might be saved through Him. And that's the reason He's here. And I just pray this time of the year that a lot of folks are celebrating Christmas, but and they're celebrating Jesus. And I just pray that they're also celebrating His message that He brought also. Amen? Because that is the most important part, is receiving and hearing that message. And all the celebrations going on this time of the year, that it will be a true celebration. A true celebration. And you know, I was thinking earlier, like our sons, I mean, we got three boys. And they were all born. And birthdays. And you know, we talk about their birthday. I mean, like Ryan, I remember he was born. It was cold out and wintry and ice everywhere. And I had to run down, take Chad down the playing field to drop him off for babysitter. I come back and we slid through the garage door with ice everywhere. You know, there's no other way of telling the story. That's just what happened. Amen. I mean, yes. And if you ask me next year, well, hi, when was Ryan born? You'll hear the same thing. But the excitement's still there in my voice. And today we want to take a moment and we'll look at how this perfect gift came into the world. And we read it before, we heard it before, but it's the story of the love of God. And I want to share that this morning with. And some of you might be able to quote it without me even reading it to you. But if you find it starting in Luke, we look at the doctor today. And the doctor can give you the greatest explanation of a birth. You know that? If you ask the father, you know, in the waiting or in the living room, hey, what'd your kid look like? Oh, man, it's all wrinkled and red. Okay. I ask the mother what the child looked like. Oh, the eyes were so blue, and the hair was so long. He weighed this much. Well, then the doctor sees all of it, and he really documents the birth. And here we have Dr. Luke, who documented the birth of Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 35, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. He sent to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Then as time passed on, we see in Luke chapter 2, it says, now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabitants of the earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from the Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes, swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told by them. I see how Mary, the mom, was pondering and just treasuring all these things that people was doing and saying about Jesus. You know, we'd have the wise men show up. They'd bring silver and gold and incense and frankincense and myrrh. And I always imagine Joseph as they come. He's as proud as a peacock. You know, yeah, my boy there. Yeah, that's my boy there. Yeah, yeah, that's a little woman there, you know. Just bragging, you know. Just what a guy would do, you know. You ask him the next day or 2 days later or whenever it might be, well, who comes to see the kid? Well, I don't know. People showed up, you know, because he was so overjoyed because the people was coming to see his kid. He didn't care who they were. He was just bragging about them. But I see Mary back here. We would call it journaling. Okay, let's see. Okay, and Polly showed up and she brought diapers. I have a whole list of things. You know, just the difference between men and women. And we got to realize all they was willing to go through in order for Christ to come into the world. You know, we can read the scripture and think, oh, that's awesome. You know, how happy everybody would have been for Mary, you know, that Mary's going to have a baby. But you realize there was a lot of things that she had to go through. I mean, her dad was a priest, you know, and no doubt he knew the scriptures, okay, and knew that the Messiah was prophesied of coming. But to think that it was your daughter chosen, I mean, it would took him a while probably. Joseph, the same thing, you know. People hanging around her, you know, 16 years old, now they'd be in school. Yeah, right, uh-huh. But no, she knew that it was God speaking to her. She knew that she knew that she knew. And she surrendered her life in order to the angel, to the Lord, in order to bring him into the earth. And that's the same thing that we do today. You know, as we receive this awesome gift, we agree, yes, God, I will take your son, and I'll take him. We take him spiritually inside of us, and he lives in us, and he lives through us, and we are willing to take him wherever we go. And just as Mary, you know, I don't know, I can't remember back that far, but I think at 9 months pregnant, it's kind of hard to hide it. You know, I mean, it, I mean, we did. I did had a sister-in-law one time that pregnant, had a baby, and walked out of the hospital wearing the same clothes that she wore before she got pregnant. Okay, but I hear that's not the norm. Okay, so you think about a person who's a 9 month pregnant lady. Okay, how no matter where she goes, watch out, she's pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm making fun, ladies. Don't get mad. Don't send me any letters. Okay, but you can't deny. Miserable, maybe, but you can't deny that. People are going to look right at her and say, man, she is pregnant with child, okay? Well, folks, the same way today, with our walk with Jesus, we should look like a pregnant lady. What I mean by that, there should be no doubt when somebody looks at us, man, here comes Jesus, here comes a Christian, here comes someone who surrendered their life, you know what I'm saying? We should be the same way. We have a habit of trying to cover it up a little bit, okay? We might try to take our love for the Lord at times, and we're kind of embarrassed of it, or that we're being different, and we try to cover it up by different means, okay? And God doesn't want that. Don't be ashamed. You know, Mary, she knew who she was. No doubt she knew that she was carrying Jesus. She knew that she spoke with God. She knew she spoke to the angels. She had no doubt. She wouldn't want to hide it. Say what you want to say about me. But I'm carrying the Son of God. And for us to be the same way, to make a difference in not just our lives, but lives around us, that wherever we go, we're carrying Jesus, no matter where we're going. Okay? And, you know, Mary wouldn't walk around saying, hey, pregnant Son of God. You could look right at her and tell, okay, that she's pregnant. And folks, same with us. We don't have to walk around and say, hey, Christian here. Christian here. No, we let Christ live in us and through us. And just by looking at us, you know, there's something different about that guy. You know? But Jesus is the greatest gift God can give to mankind. But sometimes you have to understand the gift in order to receive it. You know, I know a few years ago I did an illustration up here. My wife gave me a George... No. The exercise. Jack LaLanne juicer or something like that. Remember, I don't know if some of you was here, but she gave me a juicer for Christmas. I thought, what a dumbest gift you could give me. You know what I'm saying? And I sat it aside, but when I started thinking about it, my wife loves me. I know she loves me, cares for me. And I started finding out, man, she gave it to me because she loves me. Because I need to have vitamins. I need to have this carrot juice and all this kind of stuff. So once I got over that, okay, who needs this? And started looking at the love that she had for me really took place. But I had been taught why I needed it. And so today, one other illustration I've used before, and like I said before, it's kind of hard to retell the story. But this illustration I thought was really awesome. God gave me a few years ago. And it's about giving the perfect gift. You know, and I thought, well, who would want a new car in here? A couple of people wants a new car, okay? Hey, I'm not Oprah. My name isn't Trump. It ain't going to happen, okay? I didn't say who wants who, okay? I didn't say who was going to give them, but who wanted one? But somebody would want a new car. Some of us wouldn't. Some don't have any need for it. We don't drive anywhere, okay? All right. So you think, well, who wants a horse? Some people want a horse. Okay. So if I brought 40 horses in here today and started passing them out, well, some people will like it. Some of us have our cook tonight. You know what I'm saying? But it's not a gift that everyone would need. I want a gift that everyone could use, that needs, you know. A gift that would take anyone, whether you're a Christian or you're atheist. And some of you already know where I'm going, so I'm going to bring out the perfect gift for everybody. Hey, you want to help me on this? You're not singing. I know. Here we go. Hang on a second. I can't find the other $100 bills. Can you? But the perfect gift for everybody that needs it, and you know what it is?
Oh, yeah.
It's toilet paper. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. It's the good stuff, too. Yes, amen. Everyone, no one had a problem reaching out and grabbing that toilet paper, did they? Because you know, somewhere along the line, probably today, if you're really regulated, if not, maybe tomorrow, the next couple of days, you're going to need that toilet paper. Why? Because when we were born for stuff to process through our bodies. Okay? And when that stuff processes, it makes a mess. Now, you might think for a second, as I was passing out, man, was the pastor, was he picturing me on the toilet seat? Well, it might be kind of embarrassing to think, well, yes, I'm going to be on the toilet sometime today. But the thing of it is, that's humans. Okay, we were born that way. Sometime in the next 24 hours or whatever, you're going to make a mess. Okay, now, when you're sitting on the toilet, okay, I'm sorry, guys, but this is just me. When you're sitting on the toilet, that need comes, and you go to the rule, it's not there. Is that new car I talked about going to do any good? It's not. It's not. Hey, bring me the horse. It's not going to do you. What's going to do you good is this. It's the toilet paper, because it's the only thing going to take care of it. Okay, should. I mean, sitting there and yelling down the hall, Carol, hey, Carol, bring me. Okay. Oh, man. The man, of all the gifts I could have got for Christmas, this I need this more than anything. Okay. And it's an awesome thing here. Now, you could tell me today, deny I don't need toilet paper. You can tell me that. And you know what? You don't have to use toilet paper. But just think about the mess it would have. Yeah. Think of that for a second. I know this is weird, but I'll get to the point here in a minute. But I could have went this morning and not use my toilet paper and come here all dressed and look at me. You couldn't tell the difference, could you? You really couldn't tell. No, not bad. No, you couldn't. But as time went on, it was a smile, okay? Well, see, as time went on, yes, you're right. That smile there. I can deny you. I can say, I don't need that stuff. But I'm only kidding myself, right? I'm only in denial. Everyone needs toilet paper. That's the bottom line. And when you get that gift, it feels kind of awkward. Everybody's holding their toilet paper in church. And they go, oh, man, yeah, I know. I go, but it's kind of embarrassing to let people know. Well, that's just part of life. Okay? And so when you recognize that you go, you need this here, what the perfect gift that you have. The Bible tells us, if we who are sinners, in Matthew 7:11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Think of that. So, you know, I'm not perfect. I gave you toilet paper today. It's a very good gift, okay? Well, how much more would God, who's perfect, want to give us the perfect gift? See, he tells us in Psalm 51:5 that we are conceived in sin. That we are born in sin. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned and they reproduced, that sin nature came to us. Okay, so he's saying that when you're born, not born just making a mess physically, but spiritually, you're in a mess. Do you understand that? That you're born in sin. And sin makes a mess out of our life. Our life goes down the tube because of sin. We're born in that, okay? Just like a child, you teach him, as time goes on, to go to the potty, right? Because you're tired of making a mess in their diaper. Okay, you teach them that. And God says the same thing for us. You know, he has to teach us. Yes, we were born in a mess. And we can stay in a mess all of our life. But when we recognize that every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I want you to hear this morning. Don't let it go past your ears. A lot of you guys heard this quite a few times. But I want you to take it home to yourself today. I want this to be real to you today. I don't want it to say, well, man, I've been in church for years. But we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And in Romans 6:23, our God who came in human form, tells us that the wages of that sin is separation from Him now for eternity. Again, that is the truth. Sin does that. Now, it doesn't matter what sin we entertain or what sin comes to your mind. Whether it's big sin or, oh, I just got little small sins, okay? It don't matter when you go to the bathroom, what you how much you produce, you still need that toilet paper, right? It's the same way with sin in our life, and He's the only way to get rid of that. It's through Jesus. That's where this great gift comes in. That's where He says in John 3:16, He talks about how much God loves us. That this gift that we're celebrating came into the world. That we may have eternal life. By receiving that gift. And allowing it to do what it wants to do. And that is to clean us up. And I don't want anybody in the sound of my voice ever think just being a good person is all it takes to get to heaven. Please. We want to be a good person. We want to do good works for the Lord. But it's like carrying this toilet paper around and you never use it. Okay? It's right there for your use. But if you don't use it, your life is still going to be a mess. You might try to cover it up. You can come in here. I can come in here all dressed up. I can do whatever. And think, man, what an awesome man of God. But if I don't use what God's given me, and that's salvation through Jesus Christ, if I don't receive that, if I don't use that to repent from my sins, if I don't use His grace in order to give me the strength to overcome the temptation, if I still stay in my sins, but I feel better about it, I'm still a mess. It's until I receive that, I acknowledge, yes! Yes, I'm falling short. God, I'm a good person, but yes, I got problem. I come into my life, surrender me completely. And things start getting unmessy. It starts getting unmessy. Now look at each one of you here. I want to see each one of you in heaven. Oh, I want you to be up there. I'm telling you what, as I want to be there too. I can't climb inside your heart and I can't see your soul. I can't see your thoughts at nighttime. I can't see them during the daytime. I can't see how you act outside of church. I can't. But God can. And God loves you. Oh, He loves you. I don't care what you did last night, what you plan on doing today. God still loves you. But this perfect gift that He offers us is only good for us if we receive it and put them on. And what a difference it makes. I don't know about you, but you get done at times, you feel refreshed, don't you? I think the older you get, the better you feel when you... You know what I'm saying? It's the same way with us. With God. There's too many of us say, well, I can't do this Christian thing. You know, as soon as I quit sinning, as soon as I quit doing this, I'll come to... And it don't work that way. God wants you exactly the way you are. To come to Him and receive it. Say, man, I want this gift. I've celebrated this Christmas. I've done it for years and years, you might be saying the day. But man, I never looked at it this way. That we've all sinned. We need Him in our life. It's a total thing. It's a total receiving Him. Say, it's all yours, God. Not just part of it. Mary cannot just be partially pregnant. That is impossible. You know what I'm saying? It's the same way with us, with our walk with Jesus. We receive Him. It has to be all of Him. Man, why wouldn't we want it to be? What is in this world that we want to hang on to that's been trying to kill us and to destroy us and tear us down? Why would we want to keep anything like that even close to us? You know? We got to look at it at God's point of view. He wants all of us. Every part of us. And that's how this thing works. And we have to learn to surrender it all to Him. Cast it down. Get away from it. Allow this to be the perfect gift. And that's where salvation comes in. And with that, He'll give us the strength to get through every day. To make it through heartaches. To pain. He'll give us the strength to do that. We definitely do have better days coming. We definitely do. But those days come only through Jesus Christ. Only through a total submitment to Him. And some of us are sitting here today, you're born again, man, you're just full of the Lord, and you're just, oh, man. And some of us are not quite there yet. We've been listening. Praise God, you're listening. You haven't decided whether you want to step into that. You don't want to receive this gift yet. You're still like looking in the window. Do I really want this? Because we're looking through the window. You can say out here on Main Street, you look through the window in the church. Man, I like what they're doing there, but man, I have to give this up here. You know, and this can be very enticing. You know what I'm saying? I wish that this back here, the world, could one moment just show you the fires and brimstone, the hell and the torture going on, the agony that goes on forever and ever and ever because of the things in the world. That's where it's taking you to. You know, right now it might look more entertaining because, I mean, you take sin and paint it up and make it look beautiful and entertaining and all kind of stuff. But behind all that mask and all that paint and all that glimmer stuff is a hell waiting to take people into for eternity, forever and ever and ever. And that's what it's always going to take you there. There'll never be any difference. It's always going to be. And Jesus brought us a life of forgiveness. A life that's more. The life that, man, it's awesome. But we have to decide, heaven or hell, we can't have our feet in both of them. Understand that. It's either all of Jesus, or hell. You say, well, Pastor, that seems pretty rough. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's God. That's how much He loves us to tell us that. It's not 99%. It's 100%. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? And that's decided. To follow Him. But He wants you to understand that it's 100% commitment to Him. Everything you do from time you get up in the morning to the time you get up the next morning. Everything in your occupation, your relationships, everything. In Him, the perfect gift. Otherwise, be like me and that vegetable machine, okay? The perfect gift that's been sitting on the counter for 5 years. It does make me exercise and I pick it up and move it, okay? But until I actually take that gift and consume it, it'll make a difference in my body. And Jesus is the same way. He's the same way. So I just want to encourage you today, guys. Just, we're celebrating the Christmas and there'll be family gatherings and stuff. Let Him just unwrap Himself all over you. Let Him be your total package. And if you've been over here, if you're still over here, just and you're still playing the wheel, get out of it. Because you don't want the end results. You don't want that. Amen. 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 I'm just going to repeat in closing today in John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.